It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are here on a gloriously rainy Saturday. And one of my kids, Zach, is out at a Boy Scout camp out. And we hope you're keeping dry out there, Zach. We got Sam Wewell here on the phones taking your calls this morning. This is an estate planning call-in show. And I'm Brad Wewell. I'm board certified by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization in Estate Planning and Probate Law. And on this show, we talk about estate planning, probate, asset protection. We talk about Medicaid. We talk about trusts and wills and estate taxes and gift taxes and kind of whatever you want to talk about, too, regarding these topics. And we have a call-in number. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. And today we are open for business, and we are taking calls, and we're going to talk about, again, anything that's on your mind regarding estate planning, powers of attorney, Medicaid issues, special needs trusts, whatever you've got out there that you're dealing with, whatever you've got out there that you want to not deal with, whatever you got out there that you want to try to work around or you're just curious about, give us a call this morning at 390-1370, 390-1370, and I will do my best to help you out with your situation, give you an answer to your question, give you some direction. Life is not getting any simpler, and we'd like to help you out if we can in this area. This is an important area. My experience is that people spend a lot more time planning their next vacation than they do planning their estate. And people will, we had a caller last week who talked about, well, what about a software will? And software wills, folks, a handwritten will, you have to go to somebody who's licensed to get your hair cut. You got to go to somebody who's licensed, girls, to get your nails done. You got to go to somebody who's licensed, maybe as a plumber or an electrician. You're going to be a plumber or electrician, you hold yourself out, you got to be licensed. And yet people think, well, golly, doggone it, you know, I can save a little money. I can kind of do this on my own. How hard could it be? And let me tell you, you can leave a total mess behind. So we'll talk about that today if you want to talk about that. The Wewell Law Firm, we're here in Austin in Georgetown. We do nothing but estate planning stuff, and we can help you with your questions. So give us a call this morning. 390-1370, 390-1370, if we can answer a question that you've got regarding estate planning. And I want to remind everybody, too, and this was handed to me by the station, there's a severe weather warning out there. Another round of showers and storms is moving into the area this morning, and a flash flood warning runs until 10:45. We're off at 10, so 10:45 for Bastrop in Caldwell County, so that's Bastrop and Lockhart area. Bastrop, Caldwell, Hayes, Travis, and Williamson County are under a flash flood watch, or were, I guess, until 6 a.m. And, excuse me. Thank you, Snoop. 6 p.m. So Bastrop, Caldwell, Hayes, Travis, and Williamson counties. That's Bastrop, Lockhart, San Marcos, Dripping Springs, Austin, Georgetown. Flash flood watch until 6 p.m. And the greater portion of the watch goes to the coast. Rain totals exceeding 6 inches around LaGrange. So be aware, be careful. We don't want any premature probates out there, folks. So drive carefully and get your lights on and all that good stuff to buckle up and lock the doors. All right, looks like we've already got a question, and happy to take your question. Is this Linda?
Yes.
Good morning, Linda.
I'm at work, too.
Oh, well, that's okay. We're happy to help you and work through your problem. What can I help you with this morning?
Well, it's a situation where my grandfather, he's, 91, I guess, turning 91.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's being cared for by my aunt in Dallas that has, the power of attorney over him and cares for him. And they just sold a house.
Okay.
And so I guess my mom and her sisters got their portions. And so they sold it for $115,000, and I guess divided by 4, I'm assuming her was right under 30 was her portion. So I'm assuming she's going to have to pay taxes on that. Is that correct?
No, that would be probably incorrect. So that's kind of a good thing there, too. The way it would work, because your grandfather sold the house, he would normally have to pay capital gains taxes on the sale of the house.
Okay.
And that would be like 15% of the profit he made from when he bought it, you know, let's say for $30,000, and when he sold it for $115,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that normally that profit would be a capital gain, and he'd have to pay a 15% capital gain. But there's a special law that allows you to exempt the first $250,000 of capital gains on the sale of your house. So he won't have to pay any taxes. Mm-hmm. And because he gifted it to your mom and her sisters, even though you can only gift $13,000 a year, there's a special exception, an exemption for $1 million that he can use to get the money to your mom and your aunt, it sounds like. And he won't have to pay any gift taxes either.
Mm.
Okay, so nobody will pay tax on this deal. But what he's going to need to do, did he sell the house, did he distribute the money to your mom and her sisters this year or last year?
This year, just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I guess the money went straight to his bank account.
Sure, and then out to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what he'll have to do next year, and your aunt who's up there looking after him will need to know this, is he'll have to file a gift tax return next year. And what you do is, it's a fairly straightforward thing. He just files the gift tax return, and he tells the IRS, hey, IRS, I've made a gift to my daughters in excess of $13,000 each. And the amount that your mom got, so let's say she got $33,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Got to make it simpler for you and for our audience. So your mom got $33,000, and he could have given her $13,000 this year without anything, but he gave her $33,000. So the extra $20,000 that he gave her will show up on the gift tax return. And when he dies, he gets a $3.5 million exemption for estate taxes. If he gave your mom an extra $20,000, he wouldn't get $3.5 million. He would get $3,480,000. So the $20,000 comes off of whatever he had estate tax-wise when he dies. But my guess is Grandpa's estate's not over $3.5 million.
No.
Too bad, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. That would be really good. But, there are worse problems than paying estate taxes, let me tell you. But so I think it's a completely tax-free deal all the way around. But the requirement would be that next April 15th, your aunt helps your grandpa, and maybe she has to do it because he can't do it, files a gift tax return just letting the IRS know that he made these extra gifts. And nobody's going to be the worse for wear, and there won't be any taxes. And that a CPA can prepare that, and it won't be very expensive to do that gift tax return. Does that help?
Come over here. Okay.
Get over here.
Yes, I'm telling one of my coworkers.
Oh, okay.
I want him to know I was on the radio.
Okay.
So I understand now, but this is another little thing that I'm not being timed, am I? I mean, I'm not going to be cut off.
Oh, no, ma'am.
Okay.
You are our only caller so far, so you got the mic. Do we have somebody else come? Okay, somebody else come. Go ahead. You take your time.
But this is kind of leading into that. That is definitely a question that I had, you know.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, what to do with that money, because my mom does not have a house.
Okay.
I was wanting to help her buy a house, and she doesn't qualify for a mortgage because she doesn't work.
Right.
So, and I do. I have a couple of mortgages myself. So I know I could definitely qualify.
Right.
My thing was, you know, buying the house in my name. And, you know, of course, the mortgage is going to be in my name. And
well, let me tell you, that's a safer way to go than buying it in your mom's name. And the reason for that is that if you buy it in your mom's name and you co-sign the note.
Right.
Then your mom, first of all, isn't going to have the money to help make the payments or not much. That's what you're also telling me, too, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Plus, you're going to really have to get your mom a will right away.
Yes, exactly.
And because you would want her to make sure she's leaving you that house in her will.
Yes, because I'm out. You know what I mean?
No
I'm
kidding.
Out.
And if somehow, and I wouldn't want to even bring this up, but you got to know, if somehow one of your sisters or brothers sneaks in there before your mom dies and gets her to sign a new will and she leaves the house to them, they get the house and you don't. So
yes, I definitely would not want that to happen.
I would think not, especially because you're still on the mortgage and they're living in the house. So I think you would be wise to probably buy it in your name if you can qualify that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I definitely
okay.
do.
And let your mom live there. And then when she passes on, then you've got
to... I would not have anything to worry about because the mortgage is in my name. But
that's
she
right.
would have to have the will.
Yeah, and then you and she still needs a will, but it would be less important to get one right away. And when she passes, then you've got a nice rental property.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some appreciation. You know, I would probably rent it out to her, have her pay you a little bit of rent so you can maybe depreciate the rental property and save some taxes. And, you know, there's a
few
things.
Yeah, I definitely was going to be looking into that to where she could pay a little. Her husband gets a little check.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and see, that's the other reason not to put in your mom's name, because if it's in her name and she's married, which you just said that
yeah,
she was.
My stepfather. This is not my father. This
right.
is my
so
stepfather.
So if it's in her name and she dies and he's still alive, he would have something called a probate homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And he could live in the house the rest of his life rent-free. He could get remarried, move in a new gal, trash the house. You couldn't kick him out.
Yeah.
So keep control of the house. Buy it in your name. All right?
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I kind of felt that was my answer, but...
Well, that's the answer I'm giving you, and I think it's a good one, okay?
Okay, well, I just real quick...
we got one more caller behind you, but that's okay.
Instead of, I guess, as far as the gift tax mm-hmm. going to her, then if I were to do this, buy the house in my name,
right.
then I would have to report that then.
Well, no, because you're not giving your mom the house. It's still in your name.
Okay.
What you might have to do, and I don't think it would come down to it, but if you rent it out to her for less than fair market value, so let's say that the rent in the area where the house is would say it's worth, $3,000 a month to rent that house. That'd be a nice house. But let's say it is, and you can only give your mom $13,000. We can give your stepdad $13,000, but that's $26,000, and you're really letting them... You should be charging them $36,000. Well, you would technically be making a $10,000 extra gift that you would have to file a gift tax return on. But, you know, my guess is that the house that you're going to be able to qualify for, the rent in that area to rent a house is less than $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them up to $26,000 a year. There won't be any gift tax consequences. Okay. So you can do that. You can give anybody in the world $13,000 this year. If it's your mom, that's 13. Your stepdad, that's 13. 26,000. I mean, you don't have to charge her anything to do that, but I would charge her some so that you can get some depreciation going and you can get a little bit better tax benefit out of that deal. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
great.
A lot.
Have a great weekend.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Good. Interesting stuff. All right. We got Chris online too. Chris, this is Brad Wewell. Thanks for holding. What can I help you with this morning?
Hi, Brad. I've got a question about a family farm.
Sure.
It's been in the family for about 100 years, and right now my mom and my aunt, who are 63 and 70, jointly own the farm. Neither are married. There are four kids, my aunt's two, me, and my brother. And
Is it here in Texas?
It's here in Texas. Okay. My aunt lives here in Texas. My mom lives out of state.
Okay.
Given their age, there are basically three things that we're concerned about with the farm. One is shielding it, if possible, from the Medicaid.
Yep.
I asset forfeiture, I guess, if,
sure.
if one of them ends up going into Medicaid-paid extended care. The other would be just, you know, general liability, you know, in case somebody went on the property and, hurt themselves or whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, the final thing is that we would, you know, want it to be a situation where the four, kids would have some sort of method of making decisions about the property if either of those two or both of those two get, incapacitated or
sure.
after they pass on.
Sure. Well, boy, great question and multifaceted for sure. I'll give you a couple things here, Chris. And
one more piece.
Oh, sure, one more thing. What the heck?
my mom does have an extended care policy.
A long term care policy.
A long term care policy. Yeah.
Does your aunt?
But my aunt, I don't believe she does.
Where is she at financially? Your aunt, first of all.
Owns her own home. Not connected with the farm. Owns
right.
her own home. Is on a pension, I believe, from GMAC still works part-time a little bit to supplement that income, but I don't believe that she has, you know, any sort of extended care policy or, you know, any huge pile of assets that would allow her to
live on her own independently, right, if she needed nursing care or whatever. Okay.
Right.
Well, you got a couple issues here, and you've already identified them for me, and I'm going to kind of bring our listeners up to speed on them, too. The first thing is your big concern is, okay, what happens if either my aunt or my mom end up on Medicaid because they just don't have enough money to pay for their own care in a long-term situation, and they have to go either to a nursing home or they need care at home. Your mom did the smart thing, and she's got a long-term care insurance policy, and I can't tell you how smart that is, Chris, and our other listeners need to hear that because that will go a long way to making, you know, her life a lot better, your life a lot better. And if your aunt had one too, we may not have to worry about the Medicaid issue with the farm. But because your aunt probably doesn't have it, we're going to assume for our purposes right now that she doesn't have it, then we've got a lot of other issues here that we have to deal with. And the first thing I would recommend is that she get in to see a qualified elder lawyer to analyze what the situation is. And frankly, your mom can maybe go with her. But if she does some planning, I mean, she cannot back up. The state is going to count her interest in the farm against her when it totals up what she owns for Medicaid purposes. Can't count the house. Can't count a car, but as a single woman, and I think you said they're both unmarried at this point, right?
Right.
I mean, for your aunt to end up on Medicaid, she cannot have more than $2,000 worth of anything other than a house, a car, a funeral policy, and a few other things. So, I mean, this is a pretty minimalist deal. The farm will obviously disqualify her because her share of the farm is worth more than $2,000. It may be because she's in decent health right now, and frankly, your mom is too. This may be a great time to start putting together a Medicaid spend-down plan for her. Any transfers that are going to occur, probably you need to get on them, and there's a way to do it. There's a five-year look-back. And if she does it, if we get it done and nothing happens within 5 years, we're cool and good to go. If it happens sometime along the way within that 5 years, there are still some things that we can do. And I say we at the Weewell Law Firm, Steve Van Winkle handles that for us, but there's still some things an elder lawyer can do so that the farm can be preserved for the family and the aunt, if she needs Medicaid, can still get it. Okay.
Okay. That does help. I had heard a rumor that the 5 year look back was no longer in effect and that they could, if we were to put the farm into, you know, some sort of trust or some sort of other situation where it was no longer an asset of hers, that they could look back further than 5 years now.
No, it's a five-year look back still.
Okay.
All right, so that's the good news. But I tell you, any of these Medicaid issues, and this is for all you listeners out there, you've got to get on it. This is not something you can kind of sit around and have an extra cup of coffee and smoke a cigarette on the patio and kind of think about this. You got to get on it. So get on it with her kids and kind of explain to them what I've shared with you here. The second thing, the second part of your question is that you and your sibling and your first cousins want to make sure that you end up in control of the farm, because my guess is you're making the business decisions now anyway, and the goal of your aunt and your mom is to pass the farm down and keep it in the family. Is that pretty correct, too?
That's correct.
All right. So the best way to do that, and frankly it can happen now, is to create a family limited partnership or a family limited liability company and put you kids in charge of that little company.
Okay.
And what your mom and her sister can do, especially, again, your aunt is part of the spend down plan, but your mom can do it too as part of her general estate planning. They can gift you kids interest in the family limited partnership or the family limited liability company. And what that does, it really does two things. First, it puts you all in the management control of the property. But second, if somebody gets hurt on the property, they may get the property, but they don't get any of your personal assets. And second, if you're on the way out to the farm to kind of check on things and you're in a car wreck and you kill somebody, they can't get the farm from you. It's protected. You don't end up with a plaintiff or a plaintiff's lawyer as a new partner in this family venture. So a family limited partnership or a family limited liability company is an excellent way for you all to end up in control, managing the property the way your mom or aunt would want you to do it. You all now would own it or certainly control it, and over the course of time would own it, and it would be protected from a lot of lawsuits out there that might happen. So that's the second part of the answer, would be to create one of those and put that farm in it and kind of
so
take
for that
it
from there. For that limited partnership, the family limited partnership, what would it look like? The mom and the aunt would be the
limited partners.
They would own it, but not be managing it, have no management. And then the grandkids would manage, but not own any of it yet.
Eventually, you would own it, and they wouldn't own it. Okay. For an interim period, they would own it and let you all be the managers. Okay. You all could be the general partners. You all could be, if it's a family limited partnership, you all could be in charge of the general partnership. If it's a limited liability company, same difference basically, but you all would be called the managers of the company. But we got to get, especially your aunt, we've got to get her ownership out of her name and into her kids' names pretty much ASAP to start the clock ticking on that Medicaid look back, because anything can happen at any time at 70. If she's 75 and we've got it all out of her name and we did it 5 years ago, there's no way the state's going to count it against her, and it'll be all safe and snug and out of the Medicaid system.
Okay, outstanding.
Okay, good.
I really appreciate your help.
Well, I appreciate your call. Have a great Saturday. Thanks.
You too.
All right. We're going to take a break here, and we've got a call-in number. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. We're happy to take your calls this morning regarding anything to do with estate planning. Give us a call, 390-1370. I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
Okay, welcome back. This is Brad Rewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are taking calls this morning on estate planning issues. We've had two great calls already this morning, and we're happy to take your calls this morning, too. Our call number is 390-1370. 390-1370. We will talk to you and give you an answer about something that's been kind of bugging you, maybe something that kind of wakes you up at night, maybe something that you're just curious about, maybe something that is going on right now in your life or that you're thinking is going to start happening here pretty soon as somebody passes away or they become incapacitated or whatever. So this is a great time to call. We got Sam Wewell out there on the phones. Sam is an Eagle Scout, president of a senior class, about to go to college. He's getting paid to do this show, so let's work this boy. Call the number 390-1370, 390-1370. I want to talk to you briefly about the Wewell Law Firm. We have two offices, one here in Austin. We're near downtown at 1601 Rio Grande, and we have one in Georgetown at 1618 Williams Drive. We see folks by appointment only, both those offices, but we're happy to make an appointment. Meetings are complimentary, which means free for the first time, and except for Medicaid. And when it's a Medicaid thing, we do charge a small fee for the first visit, but otherwise the first visit at our office is free. And we're happy to talk to you about your issue. We're happy to give you a second opinion on some planning you may have done. We're happy to review planning you may have done. We're happy to just talk to you about what you may need to do or want to do or have done. We have a great website. Our website is TexasTrustLaw.com, and if you go to TexasTrustLaw.com, you can find all kinds of things. First, you can read about our firm. Second, you can read about we have a library. We have 12 articles in our library, and let's see, the article this month, Marital Matters. Let me just tell you, it's great that people get married, and I read something yesterday that divorces are down and weddings are up. That's good news. Apparently the reason divorces are down is that people can't afford to get divorced and they can't sell the house. And as soon as we can sell the house, we're going to get divorced. Well, maybe it's a good thing you can't sell the house. And maybe you'll reconcile in there, and that's better probably for everybody. But you can go to our library, and we have got 12 different articles up there about some different aspect of estate planning. You can read testimonials about clients. These are true folks who've come to our firm and gotten good service, and you can read about that. You can go to the video button and click on that, and we have 81 two-minute videos, 81 2-minute videos of me just kind of teaching on different aspects of estate planning. So you go to TexasTrustLaw.com, click on the video thing, and watch a video for 2 minutes. You can go to the legal glossary, and we have a glossary. I don't know how many terms we got in here. We got a whole bunch, probably 50 terms in here, legal terms that you may hear me use on this show, or you may read in the paper or whatever, and you always kind of want to know what they are. Well, you can go there and figure that out. Go to our glossary. And then you can also, if you're a real addict of this show, and I'm not sure that we have a lot of addicts out there, Snoop, but if you are an addict, then you can go back in time and click the radio show button and listen to some old shows that we've done. We have a number of old shows on here, and you can listen to some if you missed one and you want to go back and hear it again. So, TexasTrustLaw.com. We are the We Will Law Firm. We are the peace of mind people, is what we say, the peace of mind people, because at the end of the day, that's all we can really give you. And again, I'm board certified in estate planning and probate by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. Okay, call us, 390-1370, 390-1370. Here's this severe weather warning again. Another round of showers and storms is moving into the area this morning. Figured that out, probably haven't you. And a flash flood warning runs until 10:45 a.m. for Bastrop and Caldwell County. So that's Bastrop and Lockhart. And then for Bastrop, Caldwell, Hayes, Travis, and Williamson County, we are all under a flash flood watch until 6 p.m. tonight. So be careful going east. Apparently around LaGrange, Fayette County, they're expecting 6 inches. It's nice to have rain, but again, we don't want any premature probates. So drive carefully while you're out there and buckle up, turn your lights on, and lock your doors. Okay, let's see what we got to talk about here. Candace Bocock, who is our fabulous producer on this show, has brought me some articles to read. The Wall Street Journal last Saturday was chock full of really good articles on estate planning issues. And I think the Wall Street Journal is one of the best, I think it probably is the best newspaper out there. It's kind of conservative, but I'm kind of conservative. And you can, you can read just interesting stuff. This one, the article right in front of me is called The Right Steps. And the subheading is, when it comes to blended families, estate planning can be a special kind of hell. Mm. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is true. And blended families have all kinds of issues. And a blended family, in case you're wondering what am I talking about, is a family with stepchildren. You may be a stepchild right now. Maybe your parents divorced and one of your parents or both of them have remarried. Maybe one of your parents has died and your surviving parent has remarried. That makes you a stepchild. Maybe you're the step-parent and you have married a person that has children by a previous relationship. Again, that makes you the step-parent, of course. And any of these situations is tough, tough, tough stuff. And I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't do some estate planning, if you're in a blended family situation, you are setting things up for disaster. Now, I'm a lawyer. And you know what? I've got 3 kids, and they like to eat 3 times a day. And so, you know, we make money at the We Will Law Firm. We charge for our services. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to give your money to a lawyer to fight over something that could have been fixed and not had any fight. And the sad thing is that when families do fight, frankly, the lawyers make lots and lots of money. It's not unusual for, in a family fight situation, for the lawyer to end up being the biggest heir, the biggest beneficiary of this estate, because the family fights and fights and fights, and the legal fees go up and up and up. And again, it can be a complete and total meltdown, a mess. And the worst part about it, of course, is that the family is now destroyed over money. And, you know, there's a lot of things to fight over, but fighting over money is not a great thing. So what you should do, if you're in a blended family, if you are the parent, the step-parent, the natural parent, is you need to get some estate planning. And the article in front of me talks about getting maybe a prenup before you get married. And we don't advocate prenups. I personally don't advocate prenups if this is going to be your first marriage. I think you need to go into it with yours, mine, and ours attitude, honey, and we're going to hold hands and dive into life, and away we go. But if this is your second marriage, certainly if it's your third marriage, and we work with people, a number of people, third marriage, fourth marriage, whatever, you need a prenup. And, you know, they're not very popular things to bring up. I understand that. But a prenup can go a long way. It doesn't have to be, you know, a tied down, strict as it could be prenup. It needs to be done by a lawyer. Don't go out and do your own. But a prenup can be kind of like the saying, good fences make good neighbors. It can set things up in a way that if something happens to one of you, your kids understand. Your kids get what they're supposed to get. Maybe they get it on the second death. But a prenup can go a long way to minimizing a family fight after a death. People usually think of prenups, oh my gosh, that means we're going to get divorced. You know, I hope you all stay married for the rest of your lives. But when you die, if there's a prenup out there, again, with a subsequent marriage, it'll go a long way to putting some good boundaries around assets, putting some good boundaries around families, and making it clear what your intentions were, and will save money and avoid fighting. So prenups are smart, and if you're already married and you're thinking about it, you can do a postnup, which means you do the same thing except it occurs after you're married. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we are going to take more calls. A little quiet out there, so give us a call with your questions this morning at 390-1370. 390-1370, and I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
Okay, welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are taking calls this morning at 390-1370, 390-1370, and we have been taking calls this morning on a couple of issues, and gifts, and buying homes for parents, and getting rid of a family farm, and Medicaid, and all that. So we're happy to answer your questions this morning. Anything that's on your mind regarding estate planning, call the number 390-1370, 390-1370. If you want to, too, you can email me, and our email address is askbrad, that's askbrad at wewell.us. So it's askbrad at wiewel.us. Ask Brad at wiewel.us, and we will be happy to read your email over the air and give you an answer over the air, too. Next week, we've got Steve Van Winkle, and Steve's coming on. Steve is our elder lawyer at the Wewell Law Firm, and Steve's coming on. We're going to be talking about long-term care planning and how to avoid some serious problems that older people run into when they haven't gotten the long-term care insurance, and kind of what happens when that happens, and it'd be a great show. So next week, Steve Van Winkle, we're going to be talking specifically about elder law planning and all that too. Let's see, in the media, a little media segment here, Snoop, we've got Michael Crichton died. And Michael Crichton was a famous author. He wrote The Andromeda Strain. He wrote Jurassic Park. He was the creator of ER on TV. I mean, this guy really had it going, and he died. And no surprise, I guess, I think we all die, although as a baby boomer, I kind of hope I never die. But you know what? I think the the answer is, yeah, Brad, your number's going to come up, and when it comes up, it'll hopefully my estate will be planned, because we work on that too. But Michael Crichton died. He was an older guy in the sense that he was in his 60s, older only in that he had a child after he died. And it wasn't a sperm donation. It was his wife, new wife. Mike was in his mid-60s. His wife, I don't know how old she was, but obviously of childbearing age, had a baby that was born after he died. And his will didn't provide for the baby. And you might be, if you're a regular listener, you might have heard this story a number of times before. It happens fairly often, and the question kind of is, okay, well, what happens to the baby's inheritance? Does the baby get an inheritance because his daddy did not leave him anything in his will? And this is very similar to the Anna Nicole Smith case that we've been dealing with. And who's the Batman guy? Heath Ledger. Same thing. Okay, so this is all kind of common stuff. And so another famous person, Michael Crichton, ends up in the same situation. I mean, a well-done will, ladies and gentlemen, a well-done revocable living trust will say that my children include not just the ones who are alive today, but include any child born to me or adopted by me after the date of this will. That's what a good will would say. That's what a good revocable living trust would say. Michael Crichton's didn't say that. Heath Ledger's didn't say that. Anna Nicole Smith's didn't say that. I don't know who they're using. They're obviously not clients of the WeWill law firm, right? Because if they were, we would say it. But they went to some other smart aleck L.A. lawyer probably and got this will that or this trust that isn't going to work. So what the law will say, hopefully for Michael Crichton's now four-month-old baby, who was born again after he died, the law will probably say that that little boy will get to inherit a portion of his father's estate, probably equal to what he would have gotten had his father died without a will. The child would be, under Texas law, we would call that baby a pretermitted child, which is kind of a funny term, but it means that it's a child that was born after somebody had completed a will and the child wasn't mentioned in the will. It means that, yes, you're not cut out, that you're going to get a share, and you're not going to get all the estate, but you would get this share of the estate you would get if your father or mother had died without a will and left it to you by the law of intestate succession. So the baby should be okay, should be in there. But again, Michael Crichton went out of his way, just like Anna Nicole Smith did. Heath Ledger didn't do this, but Michael Crichton did, Anna Nicole Smith did, and has some extraneous language in their will that says, I'm specifically excluding anybody who's not named in this will. You know, that'll mean more money for the lawyers. That's a good thing, right? And my wife, Cindy, is the wife of a lawyer, and she certainly understands cash flow issues. But again, it's just a completely unnecessary and idiotic situation. It should have said, a good will or good trust will say, you know, I've got these kids, and I may have more, and if I do, here they are. They're all provided for. And so you don't have to rush into the labor and delivery room and have the new mother and father sign a new will about 2 minutes after the baby's born so the baby doesn't get cut out of the will. So that's kind of our celebrity segment here on Law Talk with Brad. And if as celebrities continue to screw up on their estate planning stuff, we'll bring up to speed and keep you posted on this stuff. But, you know, they end up in the paper, on the internet and in the news, not so much, unfortunately, for the wonderful works that they've done. And Michael Crichton has had an illustrious career as a writer. But because at the goal line, they're almost there, and they drop the ball. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that's where you want to be. You don't want to be the person at the goal line. You've lived a long life. You've accumulated a nice estate. You've got a family that loves you. You've got a family that doesn't love you. I don't know what you got. But the point is that what you can do, if you do it right, is you can leave it to your family in a way that will be a blessing to them and not a curse to them. And so do some estate planning. You'll be benefiting everybody by it. And, you know, there are plenty of good lawyers in Austin, Texas that can help you with that. And if you want to call the WeWill Law Firm, we're happy to help you with that too. So do it. All right? Do it. We got 3 minutes left, Snoop. Let me see what else is here. But Candace, I want to just kind of hit some highlights here. What do you do if you've got a lost will, a missing will? It's a mess. Which brings up a point. You need to tell your family where your important documents are. It used to be in the old days that the lawyer would keep the original in what would be called a will vault. Just, I don't know what it would be, a filing cabinet, frankly, but we called it a will vault because it sounded cool, I guess. That's not the case anymore. The state bar highly discourages lawyers from keeping original copies of their clients' documents. So you're going to get the original, and you're going to need to keep up with it. And you need to tell your family where it is. You need to tell your family where your accounts are. You don't have to tell them how much, but you need to say, look, I've got an account at Bank of America. I've got an account at Chase. I've got an account at Wells Fargo. I've got an account at Wachovia, wherever. Well, Wachovia is now Wells Fargo. Sorry. All this stuff. Anyway, keep up with it. I've got life insurance with Prudential. I've got life insurance with MetLife. I've got life insurance with Farmers. I've got life insurance with State Farm or Allstate. Wherever you've got that, tell your family. All right? I mean, who's going to know this stuff? We do in our office something cool called life planning, where our life planning clients, we keep track of all of their assets. We keep a record of all their assets. We keep a copy of their documents as long as you're a life planning member. But not everybody's going to be a life planning member of ours, and not everybody's going to use what we will offer for their planning. So if you've done some or whatever, you just need to tell your family where it is. A lot of older adults, listen up, older adults, don't want to tell their kids anything about their planning because they think their kids, they kind of picture their kids standing over their grave. Well, you know what? Your kids will be standing over your grave at some point, and it would be nice if they left the gravesite, went to the filing cabinet, got out your important papers, were able to handle them quickly, efficiently, and inexpensively, and without a fight, instead of going through there and trying to find this stuff that frankly may or may not exist. So be smart. Do it right. Okay, we are out of time. It's been a fast show, and I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you listening every week. We're into our fourth year now of this show, and we couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much for listening. Today is Saturday. Tomorrow's Sunday. We can help you on this side of life. We cannot help you on that side of life. So get your little bottom out of bed and go to church tomorrow. Pray for the country. Everybody's got a certain amount of anxiety about what's going on out there. Pray for the country. Pray for our leaders. And throw one in for me. Have a great weekend. Drive carefully. Watch out. We've got severe storms in the area. See you next week with Steve Van Winkle. This is Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.